Thank you, my brother. And before I proceed with a sermon this morning, I'd like to mention a few things. Number one, in the church bulletin, you have an outline of the sermon with the page number of the scripture reference that I will use. And those page numbers are referred to the Bible that is in the pew. So in case you need rapid acceleration to find the scripture, is there, I will try to mention to you also. Also, I want to mention that in the church bulletin is an insert about this month. We're going to start a series of sermons on October and November on basic foundations of the Christian faith. I know some of you, all Christians, will say, oh, no, that again. My wife mentioned to me that. No, that again. But I said, in college, it's good to take a review class, don't we? And it's good. We're going to talk about who's God, who's the Holy Spirit, what's the church, and how can you get into the church, and things like that. Very basic, simple questions that will be exposed in the Bible as a basic foundation of our faith. All right? And also with us, this morning, I've been announced it, we've been talking about it, is Martha Poretti, a missionary in Argentina, and her husband. Will you stand? Se pueden poner de pie. All right. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Se pueden sentar. All right. Such a joy to have Martha in our home with Jorge and with George, as you will say it. And enjoy that, God's willing, in the coming Sunday, on the 10th, Martha will give a report of her ministry and her insight in the mission field. She works in two areas, one with the drug addicts in a special place, and then with the ladies of the church. And some of you ladies already met Martha on Friday and doing those tiny little crazy things that you do. And they were just fantastic. I had the joy to see them in the TV, in the screen of my computer about 2 or 3 weeks before. Now we turn to the Bible, please, on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. I suppose we could fill this sermon with the stories about the situation that the founders were working from at the foundation of our church, Bethel Baptist Church. But our time in this sermon this morning will be better spent to consider not what Bethel founders did, but what they were looking for in the formation of this new church. Today, we thank God that the Holy Spirit gave Bethel founders the desire to establish and build a church that was not interested in a social gospel, but rather in a saving gospel from the scripture. Today, we thank God that he brought 13 faithful men and women in the from the communities of Gilroy, San Martin, San Jose, and Morgan Hill 28 years ago into a bank community room, and we start our wonderful meeting the first time in the history of our church. And as we thank God for the blessings he has given us through these congregations, we turn now to some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, because I want to give a message of encouragement to the church. A challenging message for you and for me so that what we supposed to do from now on. 28 years together, some of you are there 28 years with me. And so what we supposed to do as a church. Two things I like to say to the church. We must need to keep on building on the proper foundation. Keep on building on the proper foundation. And then keep on building with the proper material. I sound like an architect, don't we? When you make a building, you need a foundation, and you need the proper materials to make the building. Well, God writes to human beings, writes to you and to me, and he writes in a way that we could understand what he says, and he used these things. So we're going to work together in some scriptures this morning, and I know some of you look forward to have a good dinner with us, and please, if you are a guest, stay for the dinner. We have a dinner last Sunday. We're going to have a dinner this Sunday. Well, you have the diet the following week, so stay with us and enjoy the fellowship of God's people. Now, Bethel Baptist Church, the scripture is saying to us, keep on building on the proper foundation. Look at in verse 10 and verse 11 in chapter 3. The Bible says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master building. That word can be changed for the word architect. Actually, it's very close pronounced in Greek in that way. As a wise architect, I have laid the foundation. See, every church when it starts needs a foundation. I have laid the foundation and another building upon. All right? But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than the is laid, which is, simple words, Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I started the church of Corinth, and you go back to Acts chapter 15. I started the church of Corinth, and I laid the foundation. All right, let's talk about laying the foundation. It means that the doctrine of Christ is the only foundation. See what they say here in verse 11, which is Jesus Christ. It's not talking only about the person and the body of Christ. It's talking about what Christ has done. So he laid the foundation on the doctrines of Christ. Let's turn the Bible to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. And it's in page 1044. Okay, Matthew's Gospel, and is in chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. And in my book here, say here, page 1044. Okay, I'm reading the scripture. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which is built his house upon the rock. You got it? He said, therefore, whosoever hear the things of mine, not only hear it and memorize it, what the next sentence is, and does them, in other words, whosoever receive the word and practice the word, he said, that guy has a great foundation. See, look at in verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. In other words, when we found the foundation of our Christian life, should be the only foundation of our Christian life, should not be a name of the church or a denomination, should be the rock, should be Christ Jesus himself, like the Apostle Paul says. You see it? In other words, the foundation of my spiritual life should be upon the doctrine of Christ. Because people will come and tell me stories, but because I have a great foundation, the building may shake, but they cannot turn it down. Verse 25 said, the rain descended and floods came. You know, a lot of people will knock to your door and say, will you read this book? And you do the other. And you are so solid in that foundation of Christ that you can take the book, look on it, say, I'm sorry, this is not the truth. I give it back to you. Now, this is what Paul has in mind. Building upon the proper foundation. It means also that the person of Christ is the only foundation. I have friends here now in town. They are Mohammed people. They are Arabs people. And they meet me. They follow me. They meet me. If I'm in the office, they come to see me. They think it'd be my nose is an Arab nose, which is correct. My mother said, no, you hit the tree. But I don't hit the tree. I was born like that. From the other grandma from my father. But, you know, why no Mohammed? They asked me in my office here. Why no Mohammed? Well, let's find out. Let's go to John Gospel. chapter 3. So it's good to have the Bible as a guideline, don't we? Go John Gospel, chapter 3, page 1151. John Gospel, chapter 3. And I'm going to read for you verse 14 to 16. And look at what the Bible says. There I said, only one foundation. Only one foundation. And that foundation is the doctrine of Christ, now the person of Christ. Cannot be the Pope. Cannot be Muhammad. Cannot be Buddha. Had to be Christ. Why? Look at here. John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The word Son of Man, for those who are new, is an expression for the Lord Jesus Christ used in the Gospel of Mark in a great number. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And look at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God do not have two sons. There's only one. And he gave that to us. And so the Christ is the absolute foundation that we have. And so building upon the foundation is building upon the doctrine of Christ, is building upon the person of Christ. If I ask you, how do you know you go to heaven? I'm waiting for that answer, and you shall say, because by the mercy of God, I have come to believe that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary. No Muhammad, no the Pope, no the church doctrine. Jesus died for you. Ain't all that great? Simple. But people rebel. They say, oh, they said. I talked to a Jew professor in San Francisco. So you can get rid of that Jesus. We will be great friends. So we should be good friends anyway. You got the money, I got the time, and we can go places together. I said, but you know something? I said, if we take Jesus out of the book, why we meet here? Let's go and play golf. There has to be only Jesus, okay? It means that the church is built on Christ's foundation. And so you drive in town, and I saw a sign here. It is a apostolic church. So I walk in. I said, hi, what do you want? Good. Can I talk to the apostle? He said, yes. And came the apostle. And I look on it. I said, boy, you look young. And he said, why? He said, well, you are, what, 2,010 years old. And he said, no. He said, we have apostles. Now, I want to show you. Open your minds. Very good, what I want to show you now. How the church is built. Foundation is Christ. Now, who is next? Who's next? What are the layers? You know, if you go in your house, you have four layers of foundation. The ground foundation, the rock, then you have the smooth, then you have the foundation, the absorb, the weight, and then the foundation, the build. Four layers. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Ephesians, page 1273. Ephesians, page 1273, 220. Look at the three layers of foundation that God is presenting to us. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 20. And Paul talking about us and the construction of the church, he said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Now, when the Bible was written with the mind of the Greeks. And the Greeks will tell you the first thing last and the last things first. So we pick up this story. He's talking to Jewish people who write right to left. And when first is right, and last is left. And so now when you read the Bible, you have to have that psychology in your mind, and that's beautiful to learn language because then you understand when people talk to you. So here it is. Look, the foundation. What is the last part of verse 20? Look at here. Christ himself being the what? The Bible says the chief cornerstone, the strong stone, the very basic, right there is Christ Jesus. All right. What's next upon Jesus? Foundation. What is the next? He said, the prophets. So you take Isaiah, you take Daniel, you take Jeremiah, you take Hosea, you take the prophets. In other words, you are looking in your Bible and you see all the prophets. And all these prophets are they also the foundation of the church. Some people say, you believe in a Jewish Bible. No, I believe in God's Bible. Happened to be that the prophets were Jewish people, praise God. And they are the foundation of the church. What's the next one? It's the apostles. See that? So we have three layers in foundation. You have the Christ, the prophets. You can read all the prophets. No one argue about the Messiah. Actually, every prophet points to you to the Messiah. A word that is a Hebrew word, Messiah, means anointed. In the Greek language, it's Christos, which is Christ. Messiah, the anointed. All the prophets. Then the apostles. What the apostles did, Peter said, there is no other name. He don't preach about himself being the Pope. He said, there is no other name in the scripture given unto men whereby they can be saved. And so it is about the name of Jesus. See, they're built. These are foundations. You have a foundation of Christ. Then you have the prophet. Then you have the apostles. Now go to Ephesians 4 with me, please. You are in chapter 2, just go to Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and you see how the church operates today. We are about the foundation. You lay the foundation how many times? Only once. So I told my fellow here, I said, well, if you are not 2,000 years old, then you're not an apostle, because the apostles were the foundation. Now, here is what it is, chapter 4, and look with me, verse 11. Talking about Jesus, when he went to heaven, he allows people to have certain gifts that we talked last Sunday, the gift of the Spirit, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay, Christ is the foundation, the prophets are the foundation, the apostles are the foundation, and now who are remaining today? Well, the Bible says very clear here, evangelists. And what else the Bible said? The Bible gives pastors, teachers. That's what we have today. And so the church is built. No one is the chief, because the chief is Jesus, the chief cornerstone. You got it? No man can say, I'm the Pope. No man can say that. If he say it wrong, he has failed to read that. And so what a blessing we have. Then the church of God, the church that Paul is talking here in 1 Corinthians 3. So it means that the church has been built on the foundation and now blossom. So to be sure that I'm right, what I say to you, I want you to know, the first lesson on doctrine will be Bible. I call it Bible 101. You need to know what the Bible teaches. I taught the Spanish people this. You need to know how the Bible is constructed. It is so important. So how do you know something is true? How do you know? How do you know? All right? Here's how you know. You read it in the Old Testament or New Testament, and then you read it in the book of Acts, which is a book of history. See if the church practiced. All right? That's what we're going to do. Remember what I told you? That we now are sitting on the foundation, and we are learning from the foundation. Let's practice. Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2, page 1183, verse 41 and 42. And let me show you how the church learned. The beginning church, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 43. And then you learn how the church learned. Here is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized. Now, just a glimpse to you. In order to be baptized, you need to be more than a baby, because you need to receive the word. You need to understand the word of God. So it's not a baby baptism, it's an adult baptism. Is that right? Because you need to hear and receive the word of God. At the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continues, verse 42, steadfastly in the, what? The apostles' doctrine. You see that? The church started teaching the apostle doctrine. What is that? That is the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians, Philemon, Galatians, Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. They were studying on the apostle's doctrine. That's how the church was built. That's how the church took place. In other words, they look into what they have to say, the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, and then the Bible has another division, which is called the Gospels. That's the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the church grew up. No, they hear the gospel, they put the gospel in their heart, and now they need to grow up in the apostle doctrine. That's what I teach from the New Testament many times, and I teach from the Old Testament, and I bring you to the New Testament so you have the foundation and the building properly done. All right, now, another checkup. You're in Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts 17, 11. This is the apostle doctrine. Now come the apostle Paul. And the apostle Paul always taught from the Old Testament. Now remember, in the year 37, in the year 45, in the year 70, in the year 80, the only book written was the Old Testament. And so the apostle taught that Christ is the one that was written in the Old Testament. Now, what the people will do, look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Talking about these people, the Bible said, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These people of Corinth, they were not so bad as the people of Thessalonica. They rejected the idea. And then that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they don't say, oh, yes, yeah, yes, yes. What they did, look at here. Search the scripture daily whether those things were so. You see what the scripture says? And this is good for you. That's what I write my notes. You go home and you can help me if I'm wrong because I am not infallible. I'm just your pastor. And I can have a wrong point and you will help me to say, Pastor, have you seen this verse? And that helped me. Never you going to upset me if you point to me the scripture. Now, if you say, my idea, that's a different story. All right? So what happened with these people? Well, they listen to Paul and they check Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Nahum, Habakkuk, Malachi. They check these, what the apostle Paul fits the foundation. Oh, I want to put a big building here, the church. But that church, it has no foundation falls. So the people check the foundation in the proper place. Now, that's why our church was founded in that way. If you come to Sunday school, you will study for 2 years. We're studying the book of Matthew. You will know Jesus through and through. We're almost at the end. What chapter is today, Brother Greg? What chapter are we?
We just finished 25.
And Matthew's how many chapters? 28. So 3 more chapters, that will be another 6 months. All right? This is how we study. Very slow. 4 or 5 verses at a time. See? I know you forgot what you learned in chapter 2, but if somebody mentioned, boom, comes into your mind. All right? And so at 9 o'clock, you come at 9 o'clock and you enjoy a class. I have my Spanish class. The young people have their class. And we study the scripture. And then, how should we study the scripture? See, how should we, people say, what books do you follow? I'll tell you how we study the scripture. Go to Isaiah with me, page 784, Isaiah 28, page 784, Isaiah chapter 28. And look with me in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 13. God, you know, there are a lot of books written about how to study the Bible. But here is in one verse, you don't have to read more than 1 second. In one verse, they tell you how to study the Bible. Look at here. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, concept upon concept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and a snare and taken. In other words, if you really want to be a help to God in teaching as a pastor, you just pick up a book and you go slowly, line upon line, precept upon precept, until the people are built. That is the method in today's seminaries. This is called expository teaching. Unfortunately, the wall came into the seminaries. You know, Harvard University was a seminary. And the world comes into the seminary and is teaching all these philosophies and names. But in the scripture, they tell you everything. How a pastor, whatever you call it, expository or not, that's what we do in Sunday school. And the Bible. What are our textbooks? The Bible. In the morning service, I take care of you by feeding you on topics. Every month, a different topic. Now, I'm going to take 2 months for the foundations, and we go into the Bible. Then at 3:30, if you have questions, don't ask me, ask Pastor Greg. At 3:30, he sits over there in the class until 4:30, and he takes the questions. We call it Search the Scripture, the class. And we took the topics, and we look upon the Scripture. In the evening, almost through Revelation, after 2 years, the book of Revelation said we got the concept and idea what God wants us to know about the end. And that's how I was directed by God to build the church upon the foundation, upon the prophets, upon the apostles, and the church is growing. Sometimes you don't grow in number. Well, we are more than 13. We are all you here and on the people on the overflow room. So we are a lot of people. We have a lot of people hitting the internet and listening. But I'm not interested in number. I'm interested that you grow. I'm interested that you really put your feet on the Word of God. And if you never knew God, now you're going to know God. Amen. And when you know God, the Holy Spirit of God will talk to you. And when the Holy Spirit of God talks to you, I hope you believe. All right? Now, that's building the proper foundation. Now, when you select, your wife did a remodeling in your home and she picked the things. It's crazy, no? You pick this material, pick the other, and pick the other, and pick the other. Well, what material should we pick to build upon the foundation? All right? Let's do that. Look at let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And now, let's look at verse 12. And verse 13, look at the materials that God is telling us we should build our church. God even designed the material. Look at here, 1 Corinthians, again, we go back to the very beginning. And verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. Now that's a good stuff. That's in decay. Why God choose gold, silver, precious stone, doesn't decay? What is the other material? Wood, hay, stubble. All right? God give us the material. So I'm going to call it in this way. I'm going to divide that verse in two sections. First, they are permanent and valuable materials. All right? Do not decay. Now, which are they, Pastor, today? Well, let's look. Let me give you example number one. In the book of Galatians, page 1 to 70, in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and look with me at verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is the word patient, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such a thing, there is no decay. You got it? That's one example. You built upon that. And I guarantee to you, if you have love, remember 1 Corinthians 13:13, there is faith, there is hope, there is love. The greatest of all is love. And what Jesus said in Matthew 5, love your enemies. Why? Because you destroy them. Amen. You destroy them. All right? So now let's go to 2 Peter, another kind of material. 2 Peter, page 1325, 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11. 2 Peter, get it here, chapter 5. 2 Peter, chapter 5. Chapter 1, excuse me. Chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. 1 Peter, I get to 2 Peter in a minute. All right. 1, 2 Peter. Here we are. And beside these, said the Apostle Peter, these, and beside these, giving all diligence, Look at what the apostle said. Now, that's not something that God is giving you automatically. This is not something that, oh, I'm a Christian and I'm full of this. This is something you need to add. It's like a banking account. You deposit $100. Next month will be $100 unless you deposit more. All right? So Christ saved you. That's what you have, salvation. Now God said, add to your salvation. Let's see what. All right? Faith. You believe God? Faith. Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? That's a good material to build. That is permanent material. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. The Gospel of Matthew is at page 1058, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And is on verse 26. All right. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so the Bible is telling us, okay, if you build your houses and you build a great work and you are a great professional and all of these, what is profit? The day you die, where your soul goes is more important than all of this. So you need to build the knowledge, the security, that when you die, you go into the presence of God. I cannot guarantee it. No church can guarantee it. God can. When you become a believer in the work of Christ at the cross, that his blood was the payoff. Oh, what Adam have done. See, when you sin, God demanding death. But because of the blood of Christ, now if you believe that his work was on your behalf, his blood is on you. And then you are free into the presence of God. And that's what God's talking about in Matthew 16. He said, what profit if you become a billionaire and you die unsaved? With Dr. McCormack, we witness other doctors a lot after surgery and all this. And there was one doctor who was really worried. And I remember coming out of the surgery and sitting on the old hospital and the table there in the lunch room. And he said, I got problems. We thought I had problems with the surgery. He said, no, I got problems. What am I going to do with my money? What happened is we give him a newspaper. In the first page, we fake it and we put Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And he read a Solomon worry about what is going to happen to my children. He said, what is going to happen to my money? I said, that money is nothing. Your children will, they will do all kinds of things. But what is going to happen to your soul is more serious. So, Church of God, Bethel members, friends who listen over the radio and over the internet, please build your life. Yes, it's good to work. It's good to have a roof. And it's good to have a car that runs, but build your life on the character of Christianity. Believe God. Let your life fill with the Spirit of God. Be controlled by God. And the only way is to look. Say, add to your faith. You need to pray that God will add into this daily. Now, remember, there were two kinds of materials. One are the perishable material, the permanent material, and the other are the perishable material. What are they? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, the Bible tells you, Jesus tells you. Matthew chapter 6. And look at what the Bible says. As soon as I get chapter 6 here. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You cannot avoid it. If your treasure is on money, that's what your heart is. But if your treasure is on God, that's what your heart is. So what is a very poor material? Working yourself out to work to enrich yourself. Let God make you rich. Let God give you a job and give you wisdom and hand to manage your money. What else? Galatians chapter 5 gives us another list of very poor material that some people build their life upon. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Remember, we've been there in Galatians on page 1 to 70. All right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, the desire of other women who are not your wife, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, will keep on doing such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that clear? That's the material that some people build. No wonder they never make it to heaven. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is very important. It's in page 1295. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me see. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here we are. And verses 3-5. If any man teaches otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, surmising, perverse disputings of men, a corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. In other words, God is saying, if a false teaching come into, don't build your life on false teaching. There is a lot of gospel preached over there. Well, if you give to the Lord give you more. What a terrible thing. It is true, if you give to the Lord, he never abandoned you. But you don't give an offering to see, I give $10 to see the Lord give me 20. Don't do that. But some churches do that. They said, well, it's called the preaching of prosperity. All right? Don't do that. You know, it's just horrible. And so, what did we learn today? I want to close with the way I closed my Spanish class. What did we learn today? We learned, number one, that we need a good foundation. When you look for a church, you look at church, that their foundation is solid on Christ, solid on the scriptures of the Old Testament, solid on the scripture of the New Testament. A church that is built actually on Christ on the basis and the Bible on the top. That's the church you look for. Now, body of Christ, what do we need to do from here on? We need to specialize on those fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5. We need to add to our virtue of being saved the virtues of Christianity and pray to God for those gifts in our life. And then we need to be careful that our life is not based upon the things of this world. It's good to have a profession. It's good to be a medical doctor, an engineer, an architect, a garbage collector, whatever you like to do. It's good, or even a lawyer. But I tell you something. That in itself is not the goal of your life. The goal of your life is to use your life to shine for the glory of Christ, so people may see Christ in you. To be sure yourself that if you die today, your soul is in the presence of God immediately. That's the thing you need to know. May God really give Bethel the challenge of Matthew chapter 28, where in Matthew 28, the scriptures describe in a marvelous way what we're supposed to do in a nutshell. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, in the closing of the chapter, the Bible makes a summary of what I taught to you today and say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So better will be making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And now listen here. Teaching them to observe all things. Not just memorize. To observe all things. Whatsoever I have commanded you. And laws of Jesus Christ. I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Bethel, may God give us a blessing, whether I'm here or not here, that this church will be based upon the scripture, building the Christian life, and you Christian, building your life as an example to the community, so God be honored. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blessings of so many years. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of giving us the instructions in your word. Thank you, God, for writing the Bible for us so that we don't wander here and there. We look upon the scripture and we look in the scripture and we feed from the scripture. But Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God who is alive takes our life over and makes the life of this church different, makes the life of this church blossom, make the life of this church alive, and that each Christian will blossom in the joy of the Lord, that we may go into the community wherever we live, and that people may know that Jesus lives in our life. Thank you for what you have done with us, and thank you for what you're going to do with us. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Again, those who are guests, you can stay with us to enjoy our wonderful barbecue luncheon, paid all by our church, because we are grateful. We do this every year. We are grateful for your giving, and we give you this back to you, at least in a steak today. Lord, we are grateful for you. We're just sinners saved by grace, all the same. And we are grateful that you brought us together, not only to enhance our life and to fill our life with the power of the word, but to let other people know that we love them and that we want them to know our God, a beautiful and wonderful God. Thank you for all the instruction you left for us in the Bible. Thank you that the main denominator of our life is love. Thank you that this church practices that. Let the people of the world know that even though they think different, we love them. And we want them to know that foundation, that rock, that gorgeous and marvelous Savior, that wonderful Jewish boy whose name is Jesus. Bless us as we dismiss today after the dinner. And may the presence of God and the walk of the Spirit follow us all the days of our life. In Jesus we pray. Amen.